The last 2 3:30 sittings have been challenging. Restless body and proliferating mind. I guess it's my time of day for anxiety. I use several techniques, metta, 32 body parts, watching my long breaths, and by the time the bell rang, my internal landscape had changed. Thank you all for your teachings. Now my question. I'm still very attached to my husband and children. I don't want to relinquish the intimacy I share with husband. I will suffer when they are gone. How to reconcile this practice of relinquishment with the reality that I am a wife, mother, and householder? Well, I think one of the things is just that when there is an acknowledgement of on both sides, it's sort of, I think one of the things that the practice does is allows us to have space for all these different feelings, reactions, emotions, and put them into context. And it isn't coming from an idealized version of everybody should take relinquishment to the point of going off and ordaining. It's more like, no, that relinquishment is actually a skillful acknowledgement of the areas where we do create suffering, and our suffering is it can be allayed and can be put into perspective. So that we understand its nature and we don't create a problem around it. I think one of the things that comes to mind is, in Buddhist cultures, especially the Theravada cultures, one of the lay women who is exalted and looked up to is Visakha, and she's a stream enterer, so obviously had insight into Dhamma, and she had that at quite a young age, had that insight, had that knowledge at quite a young age, and she went on to have a husband and 20 children. That's especially in Indian culture, that's considered really a good thing. So it's sort of this is, but raised family. But that it was, held in a different way, and obviously there's the vagaries of existence are still there, but it's held in a different way, so that relinquishment doesn't necessarily mean that it's, a pushing away. It's an ability to set down the sticky bits that create suffering and complication, and that's what we have to pay attention to, because then we keep doing that, then we're actually able to. One, to individually, of course, to live with a stability and well-being. But then also we live with others in a way that is, it's not creating complications and difficulties for them as well. So that practice of the Dhamma and the ability to see clearly the nature of suffering allows us to not get entangled in the things that really create problems in the human condition. We need more people like that. Yeah, I think of some of that I say, like in families that grow up with really strong spiritual models. It's just an incredible blessing.